This is Ronald Coleman inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour. Favorite story. I recently had the pleasure of shaking hands with a man who has turned darkness into light with his wonderful stories of the piano, musician, wit, and all-round entertainer, Mr. Alec Templeton. I asked Mr. Templeton to think over all the stories that he has loved and then to pick his all-time favorite for us to dramatize on this broadcast of Favorite Story. Alec smiled and said that his choice was a rather thick book to squeeze into one narrow half hour. But if we tell the first part of it, that seems to be what the world loves best. So for Alec Templeton, and for all of you who are friends of Charles Dickens and David Copperfield, here's Act One of this week's Favorite Story.
Than a man.
Mm-hmm.
But you can baffle a crocodile by turning quickly.
Oh, Lord of mercy, the fire's almost burned itself out.
Oh, Peggotty, you weren't listening to me at all.
I was so. I've heard every word, Master Davy. But if we don't put another log in the fireplace, we'll all freeze to death.
Let me help you.
What would your mother say now, Davy, if she comes home and finds us frozen stiff in front of a burned-out fire? Eh?
Oh, Peggotty, that couldn't happen.
There. Well, it couldn't happen now. All right, boy, open up your book again. I'm just dying to have you read me some more about them crocodiles. Some kind of vegetable, aren't they?
No, Peggotty. Crocodiles are... Well, they're monsters. Peggotty?
What is it, lamb?
When a crocodile dies, does it go to the same heaven my daddy went to?
Oh, what a question. I don't know, Master Davy. But if ever I go to the same heaven your daddy went to, Lord bless him, I pray there won't be no crocodiles there.
Peggotty, were you ever married?
Married? Now aren't we full of questions tonight?
But were you, Peggotty? You are a very handsome woman.
Lord, no, my dear. I never married, and I'm ugly as an old footstool. Ah, but if you want to see a handsome woman, Davy, look to your dear sweet mother. As good and as beautiful as any angel come down from the sky. Oh, I wish she'd come home right now and tuck you in bed.
She said I could stay up.
I know, but it's hours past your bedtime.
Peggotty, when people marry, they can only marry one person at a time. Is that right?
Well, it's best to keep it down to as few as possible.
But if you marry a person and the person dies, why, then, you may marry another person, mayn't you, Peggotty?
That's a matter of opinion. See here, Master Davy, what's put this talk of marriage into your head, eh?
I don't know.
Well, I'm just dying to hear some more about them monsters in the book.
Oh, there's Mother coming in the gate. I'm going to meet her.
Run along, Davy. I'm all tangled up in minikin.
Mother, Mother!
You'd be in bed.
I stayed up for you to give me a good night kiss.
Here it is, my precious.
You're highly privileged, my boy.
What?
To receive a kiss from such a beautiful woman. More privileged than a monarch.
Davy, this is Mr. Murdstone. He was kind enough to walk Mother home.
Come, my fine boy, let us be the best friends in the world. Shake hands.
No.
What? Davy, be a little gentleman and give Mr. Murdstone your hand.
Oh, I want to stay with you.
No matter. I cannot wonder at his devotion to the dear boy.
I must trundle him off to bed.
And I must say good night to you, dear Widow Copperfield. It's been an enjoyable evening.
Good night, Mr. Murdstone. thank you for seeing me home.
Shall I hope to see you at church on Sunday?
It'll be a pleasure.
Until Sunday, then.
Farewell. Daisy, boy, I'm shocked at you. Why were you so rude to Mother's friend?
I don't like him. I don't like his black beard, and I don't like the way he talks.
Oh, hush, Davy, I'm surprised at you. Oh, good evening, Peggotty.
Good evening, ma'am. Did you have a nice time?
Very nice, thank you, Peggotty.
A stranger or so makes a pleasant change now and then.
Oh, Mr. Murdstone is no stranger.
More's the pity.
Why, Peggotty, what an unkind thing to say.
I'm only wondering what poor Mr. Copperfield would think.
Indeed, Peggotty, he wouldn't want me to wear black all my life. He'd like me to have friends.
Not such a one as this Mr. Copperfield wouldn't have liked. It won't do, I say, for little Davy's sake. I tell you, it won't do.
Oh, my own little Davy. Is it to be hinted that I don't love my precious treasure?
Nobody hinted no such thing.
You did, Peggotty, you did. Am I a naughty mamma to you, Davy?
No.
Am I a selfish, bad, nasty mamma?
Oh, no, mamma.
Say that I am, and
you.
Peggotty will love you.
All
I
say
you,
is I don't hold with you making courtship for the likes of him, not the little Davy's sake.
Bad love
you
at all. Making mamma cry. Bad Peggotty, beastly Peggotty.
Oh, it's worse than a crocodile I am. Now, shall we be off to bed, all of us, before we wash away the furniture with all this weeping and wailing? To bed, I say. Did you have a good holiday, Master Davy?
I think it's the nicest week I've ever spent, Peggotty. Except for one thing.
I know, Lammy. You missed your mamma. Well, we'll be with her soon.
Look, there's our cottage, Peggotty. I wonder where Mother is. I thought she'd be waiting for us at the gate.
I'm thinking your mother may have some news to tell you, Davy.
Oh? What sort of news?
What would you say if I was to tell you you've got a pa?
A new one?
Yes, sir. A new pa. What about that?
Mother didn't get married, did she? While we were gone, did she, Peggotty?
Whoa, horse, whoa. Now, Davy, you run on inside the house and say hello to your new pa.
I don't want to. I don't want to see him. Where's Mama, Peggotty? Why hasn't she come out to meet us?
Go inside, Lammy, and find your Mama. Off with your shoe.
I'll give you a big hug. Oh, Davy, I'm so happy.
Myra, my dear, recollect. Control yourself. Always control yourself. Never make an unnecessary display of emotion.
Yes, Edward.
Well, my good boy, how do you do? Your mother and I are glad to have you come back to us.
Are you my new father, sir?
You have a good deal of intelligence for a little fellow. I can see we're going to get on famously.
I don't want you for a father. I won't have you. I don't want
no,
a father.
No, Davy, please don't make a scene. Be a good boy.
Firmness, Davy. Clara, firmness.
Why did you do it, Mama? Why did you marry him? I hate him.
Oh,
I hate
that,
him.
Davy, be good.
Enough. Clara, my love, I think you'd best go upstairs whilst your son and I come to an understanding.
Oh, Edward, don't be too harsh.
The boy has distressed your feelings. I must deal with him in my own way. You will leave us, please.
Yes, Edward. I'm leaving.
David?
Yes, sir?
If I have an obstinate horse or dog to deal with, what do you think I do?
I don't know.
I beat him. I make him wince and smart. I say to myself, I'll conquer that fellow. And if it were to cost him all the blood he had, I should do it. Do you understand?
Yes.
You have a father now, Master Copperfield, a firm hand to guide you in the path of obedience. My hand, David. Can you imagine the consequence if you should be ungrateful to that hand? Eh? Can you imagine?
Yes, sir.
It will pay you to remember that. What time is it, Master Davy?
9 o'clock, sir.
Mondays through Saturdays, Davy, at precisely 9 o'clock, you shall come into the library with your school books and slate. Clara, you shall be here waiting for him. Do you understand?
I understand, Edward.
The boy will recite his lessons to you. I shall be seated here by the French windows. If Master Davy does not know his lesson, he shall have to explain himself to me. Is that quite clear? Well, pray proceed with the boy's instruction, Clara. Proceed.
Did you study your figures, Davy?
Yes, Mama. I studied it till bedtime.
You know the multiplication table?
Speak up, both of you. I also am interested in the boy's education, Clara.
Yes, Edward. All right, Davy. Let us begin with the eighth. What is 8 times 10?
80.
8 times 11?
88.
8 times 12? 8 times 12, Davy.
8 times 12?
96.
Clara, I wonder at you. Either the boy knows his lesson or he does not know it.
Oh, Davy, Davy.
Don't say, oh, Davy, Davy. That's childish. Be firm with the boy. Now tell me, Davy, do you know your mathematics lesson?
I studied it, sir.
We shall see how well you studied it. I shall give you a practical problem. If I go into a cheesemonger's shop and buy 5,000 double Gloucester cheeses, 4 pence halfpenny each, present payment, the carrier agrees to deliver 1/4 of the cheeses to London for a penny halfpenny each, what is my total investment? Well, can you compute it?
No, sir.
Why not?
Edward,
This is not your affair, Clara. Well, boy, why can't you compute it? Are you stupid? Did you neglect your studies?
No, sir, I'm not stupid. I studied my lessons. I've tried to learn, sir, but I can't recite while you are standing by. I can't indeed.
Can't you indeed, David? We'll see about that. Clara, my love, be so good as to hand me the writing stick which I left above the mantel.
No, Edward.
The writing stick, Clara.
Mr. Murdstone, sir, don't. Pray don't
be. Mary, I beg you, Edward.
Clara, give me the writing stick.
You're hurting my wrist.
No matter. I shall hurt you more than this. Oh. Now bend down, David.
Oh, no, Edward, no.
Bend down, I say. Oh. Now, this is for failing in your lesson.
Oh, Edward. Oh.
This is for being ungentlemanly.
Oh, Edward.
This is for being a liar and a cheat.
That's not true. Davy never lies.
I'll thank you not to interfere, Clara. I shall take the stick to you.
No, you shan't. I won't let you strike my mother.
Oh, you little devil. Bite me, will you? Bite the firm hand that guides you. Very well, my proud fellow. Very well.
Oh, no, sir.
There. Master Davy, I have finally decided how to deal with you. Surely a creature which bites cannot be kept in a civilized household. You're to be sent away to school, to the Academy of Salem House. I'm instructing the headmaster by letter that he's to treat you with severest discipline and allow you no privileges. Now wash the tears off your face, sir. Harry, the belongings have been packed for you.
Mayn't I say goodbye to Mother?
No. You leave at once, David Copperfield.
The biggest change in the life of any youngster is the day he leaves home and goes away to school. David Copperfield met that challenge bravely and with few tears. But every night he sat down by candlelight to write a long letter to his mother. And it is here that we find Master Copperfield as we begin Act Two of Alec Templeton's favorite story.
Master is terribly strict. But do not worry about me, Mother. I shall get on. There has been no letter from you for almost a week now.
Are you all right? please write, Mama, for I miss your letters very much.
Poor little Davy.
Doesn't he know you've been sick?
I didn't want to worry him, Peggotty. What else does the letter say?
He asks you to give a kiss to old Peggotty, the lamb, and he sends his love to you, Mrs. Copperfield. That's all.
Mrs. Copperfield? Who is Mrs. Copperfield?
I'm sorry, sir.
Seem to have forgotten, Peggotty, that your mistress has taken my name. Kindly remember that in the future. Now, what is this letter you've seen fit to read to my wife?
It's from Davy, Edward.
Give it to me, Peggotty.
Yes, sir.
No.
You should know, Peggotty, that my wife is a very sick woman. She's confined to her bed. Not be annoyed with silly trifles such as this.
But, Edward, a letter from Davy.
My love, I fear that your son has already occasioned you far too much grief and unhappiness.
No. He's the only joy left to me.
I should think, Clara, that in your weakened condition you would trust to my judgment in the matter of your health.
All I need, Edward, is a little affection.
Affection? You astound me, my love. No. What you require is strength. That is why I married you, my dear, to give you strength. To infuse into your character some amount of that firmness and decision of which it stood in need. Firmness will make you well again. Firmness, Clara. Firmness. Firmness. Master Davy, do you know why you've been summoned home from school?
No, sir.
Your mother has been ill. Very dangerously ill.
No.
She is dead. Your mother's passing considerably alters our relationship, Master Davy. You are not my son. Legally, I have no responsibility for you. However, from the kindness of my heart, I am unwilling that you go altogether uncared for. Therefore, you will return to London to earn your keep as a bottle-washing boy in the warehouse of my company, Murdstone and Grinby. It will make a man of you. You'll be thrown on your own resources. And you will be paid enough to live.
I don't want to live. I want to die. I want to go where my mother is.
Ah, I wash my hands of you. Peggotty! Peggotty, come and put a stop to this sniveling child.
There. There now, Lammy. Cry if you must. I know your little heart is breaking. But I was with your Mama, Davy, right up to the very end. And you know what were her last words? Bless my boy, she said. Bless my Davy. Not once, but a thousand times. Then she turned her pretty head on the pillow and died. Just like a child that had gone to sleep.
Sitting on a curbstone in London. This is a very big city and very noisy, and I feel very much alone. The work at Murdstone and Grinby's is shameful, and they pay me only 6 shillings a week. I can't find a place to live within my means. And dear Peggotty, I would give what little I have to be back home again with you and my dear Mama, God keep her. But those days must...
Oh-ho!
Those days must be gone forever.
I said ho ho!
I beg your pardon, sir, but did you say ho ho to me?
Your assumption, my good fellow, that my exclamation was addressed in your direction can be answered with an affirmation. In short, yes, I said ho ho to you.
Why should you say ho ho to me? to me.
I walk through this park every evening, my good fellow. But in all my years, I have never caught sight of a little ragamuffin as dirty as you, sitting on the curbstone, writing with pen and paper. Tell me, what are you writing, my good fellow?
This is a letter to my nurse. Her name is Peggotty.
I refuse to believe it. I refuse to believe that in all Her Majesty's empire, there lives a creature with a name like, what did you say her name was?
Peggotty.
Impossible. Preposterous.
You look very funny when you say preposterous.
I do.
Oh, excuse me for laughing, sir. I didn't mean any disrespect, but it's been a dreadfully long time since I've laughed at anything or anybody.
Indeed? And tell me, what makes you so sad, my good fellow?
Oh, my mother has recently died.
Tut, tut, tut.
And I've been cast out by my stepfather.
Tut, 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 tut.
And I can't find a place to live here in
London. Tut, 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 tut. In short, tut, tut.
Oh, I'm not a beggar, sir. I have money, and I work as a bottle washing boy at Murdstone and Grinby's. But I don't have a bed to sleep in.
Oh, your communication causes me deep affliction. In short, I'm very sorry. But perhaps I can help you, my good fellow. By what name are you called?
David Copperfield, sir.
Delighted to know you, my dear Copperfield. Delighted. As for me, the name is Micawber. Wilkins Micawber, Esquire.
I'm delighted to know you, Mr. Micawber.
Let me think. How many children does Mrs. Micawber have now? Four? Is it five with the twins? I never can remember. No matter. One more or less won't make any difference. Come along with me, my dear Copperfield, and tonight you shall have a bed to sleep in.
Oh, that's very generous of you. Are you rich, Mr. Micawber?
Rich, my dear Copperfield? Tell me, how much money do you have in round figures?
All I have is a shilling and sixpence.
Then you are exactly a shilling and sixpence richer than I. But I am of good cheer, Copperfield. For at this very moment, I am confidently expecting something to turn up. Copperfield, Windsor Terrace, City Road, the establishment I call my domicile. In short, where I live.
Oh, Mr. Micawber, I can't let you lodge me without paying you. It would grieve me to accept charity. Here, let
no,
me...
No, no,
do...
no, no, no. Put away that base metal from my sight. I will have none of it.
Well...
However, if you say so, it would grieve you not to pay me. I might accept some trifling compensation.
A shilling per week?
Fair price, my dear Copperfield. For a shilling a week, you shall be a welcome lodger in the home of Wilkins Micawber. Hello, Emma, my dear, I'm home.
Oh, Mr. Micawber, I beg you.
Oh?
Somebody here from King's Bench, and they say if you don't pay your creditors immediately, they'll throw you into the ditches.
Now, Emma, my dear, there's nothing to worry about, for I assure you I have every confidence that something is about to turn up.
Dirty boy.
Our new lodger, my love. David Copperfield, Esquire.
How do you do, ma'am?
A lodger? I never thought Mr. Micawber's difficulties would drive us to take him in lodgers.
Don't heart, Emma, my dear. Master Copperfield will spare us from pawning the pewter spoons. For another week, at least. How about dinner, my love? From the smell, I'd say the stew was pretty near stewed.
You sit right down, Wilkins. I'll bring it to the table.
I blush with shame, Copperfield. That is the sorry state of my affairs have come to.
Mr. Micawber, how did your affairs come to such a sorry state?
My dear young friend, I am a man of some experience in life's difficulties. And let me give you some advice so forth that the taking that, in short, I have never taken it myself. Here it is, my dear Copperfield, in a nutshell. Annual income, £20. Annual expenditure, £19. Result, happiness. Annual income, £20. Annual expenditure, £21. Result, misery. The blossom is blighted, the leaf is withered, the gall of day goes down upon the dreary scene. In short, you are forever flawed, as I am.
Oh, don't be so discouraged, Mr. Micawber. Surely something will turn up.
Odd that you should say that, Copperfield, for I am confidently expecting it.
Dear Peggotty, London is a brighter place now, for I have found good friends and a home. I'm coming to think that all the pain and unhappiness of the past year has been a blessing, really. For when you've known what it is to be sad, I think it makes you appreciate your happiness all the more. I miss you, dear Peggotty, and the good life we had together. But I am learning confidence in myself, and I have faith in what lies ahead. As my good friend Mr. Micawber puts it, I have every confidence that something is about to turn up. Always yours affectionately, David Copperfield.
This week, Favorite Story has been proud to produce a radio impression of one of the world's best-loved characters, David Copperfield. Young Jerry Farber is to be congratulated for his portrayal of David, along with Dick Ryan, who recreated Wilkins Micawber. And I know you will all join with us in thanking Mr. Alec Templeton for choosing David Copperfield as his own Favorite Story. One of the world's most distinguished explorers chose next week's Favorite Story, Mr. Vilhelm Stefansson. And it may be natural that a man who has made so many trips into the far north should choose a story laid in the snowy depths of the Moscow winter. It's probably the greatest gambling yarn ever written. Alexander Pushkin's The Queen of Spades. We hope you'll be listening.